All right. Hello, everyone. Happy Sunday evening. It's good to see you. I was noticing that Jay and I had A's by our name. I don't remember seeing the A's there before. And then I saw Awakening Together had an A, and AT Assistant had an A, but AT Sanctuary had a star. And then I figured out that A meant admin. So that's why we have A's next to our name. But it's good to see you all. I am going to play a song, and the song that I'm going to play is it's for me an oldie but a goodie. This was like one of my very first favorite spiritual songs. It's by Scott Klickstein, who's now known as Scott Grace. And the song is You Guide Me.
Streaming in the desert like a
right. Good. That was fun. So I am reading from the spiritual teaching of Ramana Maharshi. I am on page 51 in a section of the book called Mind Control. And I'm just going to start by reading the devotee's question and see where this goes. So the devotee says, after leaving this ashram in October, I was aware of the presence that prevails in Sri Bhagavan's presence enfolding me for about 10 days. All the time, while busy in my work, there was an undercurrent of that peace and unity. It was almost like the dual consciousness which one experiences while half asleep during a dull lecture. Then it faded out entirely, and the old stupidities came in instead. Work leaves no time for separate meditation. Is it enough constantly reminding oneself, I am, while at work? And then in Ramana Maharshi's answer, it says, after a short pause. So for some reason, this is the first time I've seen it noted that he didn't just answer right away. After a short pause. If you strengthen the mind, that peace will continue for all time. Its duration is proportional to the strength of mind acquired by repeated practice. And such a mind is able to hold on to the current. In that case, engagement or no engagement in work, the current remains unaffected and uninterrupted. It is not the work that hinders, but the idea that it is you who are doing it. One thing that's interesting about both the devotee's question and Ramana Maharshi's answer is the word current. Because when Ramana Maharshi realized the self, the way he described the self that he realized was as a current. So I'm just looking at the definitions of the word current and looking at the nouns specifically. And, of course, the first definition is a body of water or air moving in a definite direction, especially through a surrounding body of water or air in which there is less movement. And then the example is an ocean current. It also says a flow of electricity, which results from the ordered directional movement of electrically charged particles. The next definition is a quantity representing the rate of flow of electric charge, usually measured in amps. And then the next one is the general tendency or course of events or opinion. And, of course, none of these apply to Ramana Maharshi's use of the word current to describe the self. Which page am I on? Page 51. So I'm just contemplating the word current right now. If you hear me taking a short pause, just as Ramana Maharshi did, that's what I am doing. I'm looking at what that could mean if we describe it as a current. And what's coming to me as I'm looking at the description of the self as a current. What's coming to me is that that's the way of actually describing the experience rather than the self. The experience is that the self is still. And manifestation is a flow. And so what's really being attempted to be described by describing it as a current is the experience of no self in the doing and the happening, right? The doing and the happening is a flow. And there's no self in the doing or the happening. And so it's described as a current. And so if we look at the question and the answer again, the devotee says, after leaving this ashram in October, I was aware of the presence that prevails in Sri Bhagavan's presence, enfolding me for about 10 days, all the time, while busy in my work. There was an undercurrent of that peace and unity. It was almost like the dual consciousness which one experiences while half asleep during a dull lecture. And if you think about being half asleep during a dull lecture, hopefully you're not experiencing that right now. But if you think about being half asleep during a dull lecture, you know, imagine yourself in a room, and let's go ahead and put ourselves in like a university auditorium. So there are other students around us taking notes. There's a teacher at the front of the room speaking, pacing, writing on a whiteboard, and you're falling asleep. Notice how you are still. And other things are moving. Let me see if I can get someone to come and get the dog. Let's see. So again, imagine yourself half asleep and notice how still you are, and yet there's this, you're not completely asleep, so you're aware of the movement that's occurring. In fact, I really remember, I've always had a very clear memory of a time when I was in elementary school and I was sick. And the nurse had me sleeping on a cot in her office while waiting for my mother to come and pick me up. And the door was open. So while I was laying there, I could hear the other kids, you know, walking down the hall, coming in and out from recess or whatever they were doing. Thank you.
Does that help or do you want me to take her?
Well, we'll see. Thank you.
Okay, just text me.
And I remember this deep state of peace that I was in. You know, even though I was, quote, sick, I was in this deep state of peace. And I was so still. And I was aware of all of the activity going on, but I wasn't involved in any of it. I really think that's the state that this devotee is attempting to describe. You know, you're present to what is occurring, you're aware of what is occurring, but you're in this deep state of uninvolved peace. And what's interesting is he mentions, you know, he wasn't laying on a cot in the nurse's office. He says all the time, while busy, right? All the time, while busy in my work, there was an undercurrent of that peace in unity. It was almost like the dual consciousness which one experiences while half asleep during a dull lecture. Then it faded out entirely. The old stupidities came in instead. So whatever his old stupidities were, you know, stress during work, maybe judging things that didn't appear right, judging people that he disagreed with, right? That all came back. So he went from an uninvolved peace to an involved, I'll just use his word, stupidity. The old stupidities came in instead. And then he says, work leaves no time for separate meditation. Is it enough constantly reminding oneself, I am, while at work? And again, it says that Ramana Maharshi took a short pause before answering. And then Ramana Maharshi says, if you strengthen the mind, that peace will continue for all time. Its duration is proportional to the strength of mind acquired by repeated practice. And there's more of an answer here, but I'm going to pause with that. I don't hear Ramana Maharshi directly telling this man that you need to find time for meditation. You know, he's not using those words. You need to find time for meditation. But he is saying, if you strengthen the mind, if you strengthen the mind, that peace will continue for all time. Its duration is proportional to the strength of mind acquired by repeated practice. I mentioned to you all that I remember that that experience on the nurse's cot when I was in elementary school, that deep peace that I felt while laying there and all the activity going on around me. The first time that memory came back to me was when I was asking within about how to meditate. I was given that memory of that deep peace that I was in that day on the cot and guided to target that peace and then to abide in that during meditation. And again, the best way to describe that peace is uninvolved. You know, for example, when I was on the nurse's cot, there were lots of children in the hallway. You know how much energy children have, right? So all of that energy was in the hallway going past the door. But I was naturally completely uninvolved in it because of my illness and just very still and at peace. So in meditation, we could see our thoughts as being like those children in the hallway. And really what that memory was pointing to was being completely uninvolved in the energy of the thoughts. Just seeking that still place within and abiding there even as the thoughts continue to go on by. And Ramana Maharshi is saying if we strengthen our mind, I believe that what he means by that, he's not saying directly, so I have to interpret. But I believe that what he means by that is learning to stay in that place. Learning to stay in that place of being uninvolved, of being present and at peace, aware of awareness, and uninvolved with what is going on. And of course, we practice that during meditation. If we can't sit in meditation and be uninvolved in our thoughts, what is the likelihood that we will go out into the world and work or in whatever way we go out into the world and be uninvolved with the happenings? Very small, Kathy says, yeah. So we strengthen the mind. Those are the words he's using. We strengthen the mind, which means we develop the habit of abiding in the inner peace and being uninvolved in the world, even as the body is going about doing whatever it is that needs to be done. And we can't, I don't think, we can expect to jump out of bed and hit the ground running and expect to abide in that peace. We do need to take that time for that practice to strengthen the mind. Otherwise, we'll just get caught up in what's going on once again. So even though the man said work does not allow time for meditation, and Ramana Maharshi did not turn around and say, but you must find time for meditation, he does say, if you strengthen the mind, that peace will continue for all time. Its duration is proportional to the strength of mind acquired by repeated practice. And such a mind is able to hold on to the current. It's interesting that it's called the current, because really it's the stillness. It's finding that still space and staying there while everything else buzzes around you. Even the body that you call your body is buzzing about. But you're in that peace, that still place. Letting everything be as it is and playing your role simultaneously. Without mental involvement. Like you're half asleep during a boring lecture, or on the nurse's cot in elementary school. He says, such a mind is able to hold on to the current. In that case, engagement or no engagement in work, the current remains unaffected and uninterrupted. It is not the work that hinders, but the idea that it is you who are doing it. And a previous section, I don't know if it was the previous section, no, a couple sections back, we spent a few weeks on work and renunciation. And what we saw when we were looking at the work and renunciation section is that the body is moved by the code, or by what we might call interdependent co-arising. And the body will accomplish whatever it is meant to accomplish. But the mind that claims, I am doing this, is completely unnecessary to that accomplishment. It's the mind that claims, I am doing this, that is a hindrance. It's kind of interesting for me to be teaching this today because, as you know, I am working right now to acquire an Awakening Together retreat house. And we're under contract. But this contract is still not without some pretty interesting risks. In other words, I can't say for sure that we will actually close on August 27th, that something won't happen to end this deal prior to closing. And there's a number of different factors that are interesting, but one of the factors is that because we want to open a retreat house, we needed to get permission from the town of La Vida. And when we first called the town of La Vida, remember, there was an active fire in the area, a big fire. And in fact, I waited a week to call them until the fire at least had, in that area, was not as big and wasn't such a big deal, right? I mean, I can't say that the fire had stopped because it hadn't yet, but I had gone. I think I made a post on Facebook. Y'all may have seen this. I went on Saturday. There were people having coffee, having ice cream. Things seemed pretty much back to normal. This was about a week after the fire started. So on Monday, I called the town of La Vida. But there was still a fire around the area. But it wasn't threatening the town of La Vida anymore. And so, of course, I called them. And again, this was a very unusual time for them, a very hectic time for them. And the first thing I did in the phone call was express that I understood that. And I let them know that we wanted to make an offer on the house, on a house in town, and that we needed their permission. And the first thing that I was asked was, would we be charging people to stay at this retreat house? And I mentioned, yes, we would need to do that in order to cover our expenses of having a retreat house. And she said, well, a church doesn't charge. So that means you're not a church, you're a business, and businesses are not allowed in that zone. Well, I knew intuitively, without knowing any facts, I could just feel that she was mistaken. But I went and did some research along with Jacqueline's help, and I found out that the zone that this particular house in does allow churches and church buildings. It's written in the La Vida zoning documents. And we investigated the law, and there is a law, the Religious Land Use Act, that says if an area is zoned for churches, that churches must be permitted in the zone. You can't turn down a particular church if you're zoned for churches. And then it said that the churches, the religious use, was actually widely interpreted by the law, and it includes... And it mentioned a number of things that it includes, including schools and retreat centers and soup kitchens and on and on and on, all kinds of things that churches might do, that these things would be allowed in any district that is zoned for churches. So I wrote a letter to the town of La Vida, quoting the law and letting them know that we felt that we were permitted in that district, in that zone. And they let us know they had to contact their lawyer, which they did. And it took about another week before they got back to us. In fact, I think you guys, if you're in general healing, you might know that on Tuesday we had a meeting to go ahead and make that offer. And as we were driving to La Vida to make that offer, we still did not have that permission from the town of La Vida. So we were driving down there to make the offer without having received the permission. But a phone call did come after lunch that day, just before our meeting with the realtor, saying that we had that permission. Apparently, their lawyer had, although she didn't directly say this, it appeared that their lawyer had said, yes, that is the law. But she made a couple comments, mentioned, that she still thought we were a business and that maybe someday they would change the zoning and we wouldn't be allowed there anymore, which is also not true, because if we're already there and they changed the zoning, we would be grandfathered in. But, I would say that what I sensed was some reluctance, like, yeah, we have to let you in, but there's some reluctance there. Anyway, we went and made the offer, et cetera, et cetera. Well, I got an email from the bank Friday of this week saying that our loan is approved. However, there's one thing we need before we can have that final approval. It's contingent, the loan, and that is a letter from the town of La Vida saying that they give us permission. Like I told you, we received a phone call. And then, this is such a long story. One of the things that we also have to have is an appraisal on the property. And because of how busy the appraisers are, we can't get an appraiser for like 3 weeks. And that appears to be making the seller nervous because he doesn't want to have his house off that mark, off the market that long and then find out that the deal's not going to go through. So he created an amendment to the contract, which I received this morning, saying that he wants the bank to say that they will approve our loan, assuming that appraisal is good. He wants that loan approval by this Friday. And the bank has said that we have to have the letter from the city before they'll give us that final approval. So that means I have 5 days to get this reluctant person in the town of La Vida to write a letter saying that it's a permitted use without any of the language like, but someday maybe we'll change that, or, but I still think you're a business, or, you know. So, you know, who knows what's going to happen, right? Yeah, and if they say, oh, I can't get to it till next week, then that's past the deadline, and we lose our $7,500 earnest money and the house. Exactly. So what I've noticed in my mind, and again, this all happened this morning, this amendment to the contract requiring us to have the approval, the loan approval by this Friday, this all happened this morning on a Sunday. So I have noticed my mind today wanting to be concerned about this, wanting to worry about this. And what happens when the mind does that is I just recognize that concern and worry is not most helpful, and I put that aside, right? And actually, I've been pretty successful at doing that. But what I'm seeing, the reason I told that long story in relationship to this, is this last sentence that Ramana Maharshi says in this answer to this devotee. He said, it is not the work that hinders, but the idea that it is you who are doing it. And I think, I know that that error is in my mind. The idea that I am doing the work, the idea that I have to call this woman tomorrow at Town Hall in La Vida and convince her to write an appropriate letter and give it to me by Wednesday so I can get it to the bank and get them to write a letter. that has the certain words that the seller wants to see in the letter with the appropriate words. Once again, everybody wants a letter with the right words. With the appropriate words and get it all done by Friday. And I noticed Jay has written, you can pre-write the letter to assist. That thought also crossed my mind. Right, pre-write the letter. Offer to pre-write the letter so all she has to do is sign it. But do you see the I in that? That's what Ramana Maharshi is saying. Ramana Maharshi is saying the hindrance to self-realization is the I have to get this done. Right? That's the hindrance. That instead of being in that state of, I have to get this done, we want to be in that deep, abiding peace that is unevolved in the outer activity, even if the body is involved in the outer activity. Deep, abiding peace. That is uninvolved in the outer activity, even if the body is involved in the activity. So, I want to do that. I want to follow that guidance. I want to let the world go round. Let this situation, however it's going to play out. While I just stay in that deep abiding peace. And so I'm really grateful that I read this today, because I think, of course, today is the perfect day for me to read it. I will make that phone call in the morning because I've been asked to. The realtor said, of course, can you call her and ask her to do this? I'm like, okay, I can do this. By the way, another interesting point in the story is this is a person who hung up on me once in a phone call. Not because I said anything or did anything, but just because she didn't want to deal with that request in that moment. And so she hung up on me. The interesting thing is I do know someone else who's a family member of hers, and I know the family personality, and it's kind of a family personality thing. You know, they're kind of a fiery family, let's just say. But the part of me that thinks I am doing something and I do have to get this done is even, you know, really reluctant to make this phone call. And so as I look at this reluctance to make this phone call in the morning, this reluctance to call this person, which, you know, appears difficult to work with, and make a request like this, I know that if there's a reluctance, then that means that I think I'm doing it. If there's a reluctance, right, then that means the I is involved. Because if it was the state of mind that was laying on that cot in the elementary school while all the activity was going on, it is such a deep abiding peace that reluctance is an impossibility. So what I want to do now is just go into meditation. I feel like it's decided, and that what I want to do is go into meditation. So what I will do, well, let me go ahead and read the next question, because it's interesting. I said that, and then I pick up the next question, and the devotee says, is a set meditation necessary for strengthening the mind? All right. And Ramana Maharshi says, not if you keep the idea always before you that it is not your work. What's nice about that is that that feels easy to me. You know, a moment ago when I was saying, I want to be in that deep abiding peace, that's what I want to do. There was this feeling that deep abiding peace would be difficult to achieve by the time I have to make that phone call in the morning. And I think that's what led me to say, that means I want to go into meditation right now. I want to start right now. But then just before I was going to lead you guys into meditation, but then just before I did that, you know, the next question just jumped out at me. Is a set meditation necessary for strengthening the mind? And then the answer, not if you keep the idea always before you that it is not your work. And immediately what I felt inside was, that's easy. I can do that. I really can. I can remind myself this is not my work, even as I'm making the phone call, because I know it's not. You see, that's not faking it for me. You know, the guidance for the retreat house came undoubtedly as guidance. I've always known it wasn't my idea. It came to me at a time when I was extremely empty. In fact, someone mentioned to me the other day, was talking about the retreat house and said something about, you know, my, Regina's ideas. And I said, they're not my ideas. I said, it's guidance, you know. I said, our job is just to fulfill the guidance. It's not like, you know, this wasn't born from the Regina mind. And that's something I know. Whether anyone else knows it or not, it's something that I know. Kind of reminds me in the Garden of Gethsemane song in Jesus Christ Superstar, when Jesus is yelling at God. Because crucifixion is the next step, and he's yelling at God. And then suddenly in the song, he remembers, I didn't start this. You did. Right? He suddenly remembers it's not his work. I didn't start this. You did. That's easy for me. I mean, in that moment, you know, Jesus didn't have to, during the Garden of Gethsemane song, Jesus didn't have to go and meditate for the next 12 hours to get ready for the crucifixion. To get into that deep abiding peace so that he could go through the crucifixion. And here we're talking about crucifixion. All he had to do was remember it wasn't his work. I didn't start this. You did. You started this. And that's easy for me. Because I know this is true. And so when I realize that this isn't my work, even though I may be making the phone call and such, it's really none of my business about whether this deal goes through or not, because it's not my work. It's none of my business. And if it's none of my business, then I can be very easily in that deep abiding peace, even while the activity is happening, including this body being involved in the activity. So, and this makes me happy. This makes me joyous, because I know that this is easy. So all I have to do is remember it isn't my work. I make the phone call and we watch and see what happens. So, again, the devotee says, is a set meditation necessary for strengthening the mind? And Ramana Maharshi says, not if you keep the idea always before you that it is not your work. He says, at first, effort is needed to remind yourself of it, but later on, it becomes natural and continuous. The work will go on of its own accord, and your peace will remain undisturbed. Wish you guys could feel my heart now. It is open and celebrating. It's like there's joy in the entire chest area, all the way underneath the armpits and across the heart, and you know, the whole chest is like, yay, we don't have a problem anymore. All we have to do is remember it's not our work. That joy, that celebration that's happening right now is really the result of remembering truth. Yeah, that's what remembering truth feels like. I didn't feel that a moment ago when I thought I needed to meditate into that peace. And then while having my eyes open and making that phone call and not in meditation, maintain that peace. That felt like effort. In fact, I had to do that. The same I that thinks it has to get this letter, these two letters accomplished this week, is the same I that had to meditate and be at peace. But somehow, remembering that it's not my work takes the I out of it. Isn't that funny? The I is involved in the idea I have to get these two letters this week. The letter from the town of La Vida and the letter from the bank. The same I was involved in I have to meditate my way into peace before making that phone call in the morning. But remembering that it's not my work takes the I right out of it. And that's why the chest is celebrating. Because we found the truth. We got the I right out of it. So again, is a set meditation necessary for strengthening the mind? Not if you keep the idea always before you that it is not your work. At first, effort is needed to remind yourself of it, but later on it becomes natural and continuous. The work will go on of its own accord, and your peace will remain undisturbed. Meditation is your true nature. You call it meditation now because there are other thoughts distracting you. When these thoughts are dispelled, you remain alone. That is, in the state of meditation, free from thoughts, and that is your real nature, which you are now trying to gain by keeping away other thoughts. Such keeping away of other thoughts is now called meditation. But when the practice becomes firm, the real nature shows itself as true meditation. Yeah, you know, one thing about that piece laying on that cot in the nurse's office is there were no thoughts. You could say I was too sick to think. Too sick to think. So I was literally, this is why that's such a favorable memory. Because I was literally just being. I was being as still as I could because, well, it felt too bad to move and it felt too bad to be in the mind. And I guess because I was young enough, I was smart enough. I wasn't corrupted by adulthood yet. So I was smart enough to know that if thinking hurt and if, you know, moving hurt, just be still. And so I naturally, effortlessly went to that still place while I was waiting for my mom to come get me. Because in that still place, there was no pain. Right, in that still place, I really wasn't sick. I was only sick when I came back out of that still place. So I went to that still place where I was okay, and I waited there. And there were no thoughts. I can honestly say that as I laid on the nurse's cot that day, I was pure awareness. Which is why when I wanted to learn to meditate, that memory came into my mind as the guide. That was a time in my life that I can remember prior to any spiritual path when I went into pure awareness and stayed there for some time. I don't know how long. And so when I first began to meditate and I asked for guidance, it brought that memory to me, that time to me, because that was the feeling of it, not just an intellectual idea of it. So Ramana Maharshi is saying that our natural state, our true nature, is that state of deep, abiding, thoughtless peace, observing what is occurring without being involved, even if the body is involved. And again, he's saying that a way to achieve that state permanently is to continually remind ourselves, this is not my work. It doesn't matter if I'm, you know, working with the town of La Vida to get written permission for our retreat house. If I'm parenting my daughter. If I'm being a partner to my boyfriend. If I'm being a pet mother. If I'm being the president minister of Awakening Together. It doesn't matter which of the many roles I seem to fulfill. None of them are my work. It's not my work. And then the body just does what the body does. And I get to be the pure awareness, the abiding peace, while it occurs. I don't want to continue any further than that. That's enough for me, therefore that's enough for us. I think what I will do, though, because I mentioned it, is I will go find the Garden of Gethsemane and play that song for us, if I have the time. I don't know if I have it in. Yes, I do have it right here in iTunes. Good, so I can just play it right here. Here we go.
I only want to say, if there is a way, take this cup away from me. For I don't want to taste its poison. Feel it burn me, I have changed. I'm not as sure as when we started. Then I was inspired. Now I'm sad and tired. Listen. Surely I've exceeded expectations, tried for 3 years, seems like 30. Could you ask as much from any other man? But if I die, see the saga through and do the things you ask of me. Let them hate me, hit me, hurt me, nail me to the tree. I want to know, I want to know, my God. I want to know, my God. Want to see, my God. Want to see, my God. Why I should die? Would I be more noticed than I ever was before? Would the things I've said and done matter anymore? I have to know, my Lord. I have to know, my Lord. Have to see, my Lord. Have to see, my Lord. If I die, what will be my reward? If I die, what will be my reward?
heart. Now, I'm sad and tired. After all, I tried for 3 years. Seems like 90. Why then am I scared to finish?
Listen.
What I started, what you started, I didn't start it.
Not my work.
God, I will start, but you hold every card. I will break your cup of poison, kneel to your cross and break me, bleed me, beat me, kill me, take me now before I change my mind.
Okay, maybe he was still a little reluctant. Of course, he was headed for crucifixion, and it is just a song. but yeah, you heard him say, you know, why don't I want to finish what I started? And then that realization, I didn't start it. You started it, right? It's not my work. All right. Thank you very much, y'all, and I'll see you again next Sunday night. Bye. Oh, I'll be here Wednesday also with I Am That, if you want to join me for that. Wednesday with Nisargadatta. Bye.
Thank you, Regina. And I love Ted Neely doing Gethsemane. Coming up now, we have Holy Spirit Guides. And this one is entitled Selfish and Cruel from January 30th of 2008.